from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Final hour of the program here. Chris Thomas with you till 5 o'clock. Abe Gordon comes your way then. And then he will be joined by his compadre, Garrett Chapman, on the Atlanta United pregame show with kick at 7:30 versus Toronto. We had great conversations with both Joe Patrick and Jason Longshore talking about the Five Stripes and the national team as well. But the topic of the day obviously is and will continue to be for the next several days here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is the Atlanta Hawks making their decision, at least for now, to choose to move on with Trae Young over DeJounte Murray. Yesterday, they traded DJ to the New Orleans Pelicans for a couple of players that are going to play on the bench in Dyson Daniels and Larry Nance Jr., and a couple of first-round picks. Now, if you've been listening to the show, you already know how I feel about this trade by now. I have no issue with Reese Shea at number one. I would have taken Sarr, but I think it's 6-1, half dozen of the other in terms of what they can bring ultimately from a talent perspective. It's a complete crapshoot, and Reese Shea has a lot of upside, especially as a shooter, and the Hawks need that, so fine. The decision to trade DJ over Trae, also fine. Listen, Trey's your franchise player. He's a better player than DeJounte Murray, despite, I think, DeJounte's game, especially on defense, being a little wider than Trey's is, especially right now. But overall, I have no issue keeping Trae. The issue I've had and will continue to have, no matter what happens the rest of this offseason, is that package. Is Dyson Daniels, who, as a lot of callers have tried to point out, and you can hit me up at C Thomas Radio. I've gone back and forth with a lot of people. Yeah, he could be a really good complementary player in the NBA. He's a defensive first guy. He even had some really good metrics on defense last year when he played about 20 minutes a game, scored about 6 points a game last year, but he is a one-dimensional player right now, and he's not a starter. So you essentially traded DJ for a prospect, a player that's on the back end of his career in Larry Nance Jr., and 2 first-round picks. And that looks good on paper, but when you do your homework and when you deep dive into the first-round picks, they're not going to be top 5, top 6 picks. They're going to be 13, 15, 17, most likely in that range. And yes, as some callers have pointed out, there are players in the league, there's actually a decent amount of them that are picked in that range in the first round. But it's not a given. It's far from a given. There's just as many examples of guys every year that are picked in that vicinity that don't work out. So that's my question to you. And we got a couple more minutes to take your calls before Caleb Johnson joins me at 420 at 404-726-0929. Where's your head at right now? Do you agree with me? Are you upset with the trade that they got? Or do you think this was a good move for the Hawks and that this is shaping up to be a very healthy and productive offseason? 404-726-0929. Ahmad is in Atlanta. Start us off.
Completely agree with you. I think, honestly, quite frankly, the Hawks got fleeced. If you consider the draft capital that they got, I mean, there were rumors of the Hawks maybe trying to trade DeJounte back to the Spurs for their own first-round picks back. But, I mean, just looking at the Pelicans' depth chart, like, you know, even if instead of the player that we got back, I'm blanking out on his name.
Dyson Daniels.
Dyson Daniels. Even if we got back, like, you know, their first-round pick, Yves Missy, who's, like, you know, supposed to be a shot blocker, a really, you know, kind of like a raw prospect, but, you know, he definitely has potential. And, you know, maybe those picks, I think that'd be better. Or even like a Jordan Hawkins, even like, you know, Trey Murphy. If it was DeJounte for Trey Murphy straight up, or, you know, even a couple picks, I would be much happier with that. But I don't know what the front office is doing. This is just a terrible trade for the Hawks. Even if they do trade Trey, I just don't see how this trade helps them. It just gives them like a project player, and I'd either much rather have like better draft picks or like the players that they've picked in the past, the Pelicans, like, you know, Jordan Hawkins, who's a good shot maker, or the guy that they just drafted in this first round.
No, Ahmad, I completely agree, and I thank you for the phone call. And then the other one, too, that everybody was talking about, obviously, is Brandon Ingram. He's an expiring contract. He's going to make $35 million this year. That's a guy that would have come in here and been a real difference maker. And then you figure out the contract later. You see how long and for what money you want to make it work, and you go from there. But Brandon Ingram, you know, comparing Brandon Ingram to, you know, Dyson Daniels or even a Trey Murphy, who averaged 15 points a game last year, and was the 17th overall pick in 2021, you know, that's more palatable than what they got. Dyson Daniels, to me, I have to give it some time, I guess, because we just have to. There is no choice. But at the same time, I'm going to be watching this kid. My eyes are going to be glued on him because the way some of y'all are making it seem like that he has – you know, Klay Thompson in his prime, Gary Payton in his prime level defensive skills. I don't know, man. We'll see. 404-726-0929. Maurice is in Roswell. Maurice.
What's going on, man? I hope you're having a great day.
You as well.
I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. I think Brandon Ingram could have been somebody they targeted, or Murphy. At least he's a two-way player, but somehow Larry Nance, who it doesn't really move. It don't move the needle at all. And you gave away DeJounte, two picks, first round. One of them, the Lakers picks, who Lakers aren't going to suck next year. So that pick isn't really going to amount to nothing. This year's draft class, it's not a clear number one. I think the quality of this draft class is going to be anywhere from pick 10 to pick 20. That's where you're going to find the real studs at, minus the second round pick. There's footage of our number one pick, Reese Shea, getting cooked by Bronny, the person who everybody say he's trash, and he's cooking him. So it's like, I don't know what the Hawks are doing. I don't know. I think they're going to move off of Trey. They just don't want to say it. But I don't see the point of keeping him when clearly all the moves you're making look like you're just trying to dump and rebuild. Because what are you going to do? Does this move make you better than last year or the year before that?
No.
I don't think so. I think it's buns.
No, and I agree. Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. 404-726-0929. I agree. It doesn't make you better. You are not a better team right now than you were 24 hours ago. You're not. In my opinion, you're not close. Who's your starting two? Who's going to be your starting five? Again, if you missed it earlier, you have to now move Clint Capella off. You have to. He's making too much money. He's making like $22 million a year. You can't, like, you're not going to be able to function and operate within the constraints of the cap, which we know is a problem with the luxury tax situation. I'm not going to sit here and bash and name call and do whatever. We all know what the deal is. as of right now, the organization has not shown a tendency to want to dip in. So if that's the case, and you're going to be working with the constraints of either the luxury tax or maybe the first apron, these are the moves that you're going to have to make. So where are you at? What are you telling me right now, as you've been calling in all day long, about where this team is now? I keep hearing about the future. I keep hearing about rebuild. I keep hearing about now. And what's now? Not good. That's the problem. You know, you can tell me all you want about the future plans, about 3 years from now when Reese Shea is molded into his full self and grown into his body. You can tell me about 3 years from now when Dyson Daniels is, you know, scoring 11 points a game and leading the league in steals. You can tell me about all that in 3 years from now. But what about this year? Hawks fans, are you really willing to go through this again for the next couple of years, potentially? I mean, haven't the last 3 years just been painful? Especially with the way that some of those games were lost against Charlotte and Indiana. I mean, it's just it's embarrassing. And I just don't think you've done anything over the last couple of days to make it so that's not going to happen again this year. I know a healthy Trey is going to go a long way, and maybe Reese Shea turns into something early, but outside of that, I mean, Jalen Johnson another year, but I don't see it right now. I don't see the vision. I don't see the Landry Fields word that he likes to use as ethos. I don't see that. What is the vision for this team? Like, where does the organization, as they're meeting right now at the Emory Healthcare facility and planning their next move, what are they looking at in terms of where this team is right now? They say when they look at the guys they have on their roster and they look at the guys that they're potentially looking to add over the next couple of weeks and months, where do they see this team? Do they honestly look at themselves in the mirror and say, we have a top six seed in the East right now? They can't, right? They can't. There's no way. So why are you okay with that? And that's my question. Why are you okay with putting yourself in a position to not be competitive immediately? Because that's what these actions dictate to me so far. Unless they're somehow able to go and blow us all out of the water and get Brandon Ingram or get Paul George or get somebody that's going to come back here and make an immediate impact, which I think is going to be really tough to do. You think Clint Capella is going to fetch you a guy like that? No. Bogey is the closest thing you got, and you're going to have to make the salary work. So what type of player are you getting back? If you send Bogey to a contending team, they're not going to want to give you somebody back that's going to help them. So where does it make sense? Help me make it make sense. 404-726-0929. One more call before break. Billy is in Woodstock. Billy, finish us off.
Hey, I appreciate you guys letting me on. Really enjoyed the show. I've been struggling with the release of Murray. I mean, it doesn't make sense to me. You got this guy, you paid a ransom for this guy, King's ransom. And what you need to do is keep him on the team, first of all. Secondly, I know everybody agrees with the trade. If you can trade him, you did a bad job doing it this time. I mean, you could have gotten at least, like you said, a serious contender, somebody that's going to start, you know, every game. Let's do that.
No, Billy, I agree, and I thank you for the phone call. I think you should have gotten a starting level caliber player back at the minimum, guys. I've been saying it all show. DJ's a borderline all-star. And the return back from a player perspective that you got is not representative. It's not even close. You're not going to keep DJ and Trey long term. We know that. But I will say this. For the package that they got back, I would have kept them for at least till the trade deadline. And then hope that he had an all-star level first half and you can get a real haul back from a team who's looking to take the jump from contender to champion. Because you could have done that. You could have done that. And for the package that they got back, why not? I mean, how much better are you going to be right now? You're not. Unless you make another significant move, I think you can argue they'll be quantifiably worse. So why not? I'm just saying. All right, 404-726-0929. Let's get the inside scoop here. I've been giving you my opinion all day long. Let's chat with somebody who's in the know. Our buddy Caleb Johnson is going to stop by. What does he think? And then what does he think the next move is going to be? I'm going to tell you right now, I have no earthly idea. Because I don't know what they're trying to do right now. 404-726-0929. Chris Thomas with you till the top of the hour. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Job, E. You're helping to lift my spirits up a little bit. Although it looks like it's going to rain outside, which is a real bummer. I did bring my umbrella just in case. But yeah, that would just be the nice capper on the day, huh? Just start walking home. I'm all fired up about the Hawks, and then it just downpours on me as I'm walking back to my little apartment in Midtown, where I am looking forward to spending an evening watching sports, including the Braves, who look to get underway in... they should have been started about 10 minutes ago. Paul Skeens versus Max Fried on the mound. I saw a really funny video of Paul Skeens warming up. He had this, like, weighted bag on his shoulders, and he was mimicking his throwing rotation motion with the bag on his back. It's very interesting. Bally Sports tweeted it out. Go check on it if you can, because it's one of the weirder things I've ever seen a baseball player do. But let's get back into our conversation about the Hawks. Let's bring in Caleb Johnson on the WadeFord.com hotline. Oh, Caleb, how are you?
I'm good, man. I think you need some rain. You know, you need someone to put out the fire, all of the hot energy you've had going on the last, 24, 48 hours?
Yeah, man. first of all, before we really sink our teeth into this here, let's start with the macro. What did you make of the decision for the Hawks to choose to move on from DJ?
I thought it made sense. I think this was something that, honestly, I had started talking myself and others into, okay, we need to really come to terms with the fact that they could absolutely go into the season with both of these guards still on their team, just because everything that I had heard intel-wise was that the return for both of these guys wasn't to the level that they were comfortable making a deal. However, I think things, you know, potentially changed along the way as the Pelicans were looking to make something happen. I don't think they were as interested in Trae Young as they were in DeJounte Murray. And if you've got to make a decision based on the market, based on who's interested, and based on knowing that what you've had going isn't working, then yeah, I think it was a smart decision to make, and one that now you're starting to see the remnants of. We've been asking for months, I should say years at this point, for this team, this front office, to pick a direction, and we are starting to see the direction that they are taking and that they are trying to build.
Okay. With that said, Caleb, I am just beyond furious with the return. And I get the positives. Even our own PD and head honcho, our good buddy Mike Conti, even got in my mentions yesterday and tried to make me look on the bright side of life as I was being a negative Nelly about it. But, Caleb, I just don't see DeJounte. Here's my basis. DeJounte Murray is a borderline all-star player year in and year out. 22 points a game last year, solid defense, and was a clutch player in the fourth quarter. And to get back two first-round picks, which are not going to be lottery picks, and to get the player back that is a fringe bench player who comes off and plays good defense when he's in the game, but he's not even a starter at this point yet in his career. Caleb, it just wasn't even close to enough for me. Do you agree?
No. I think, Chris, here's the thing. You can't go off of what he was, what DeJounte Murray was before he came into Atlanta. The reason why the Hawks ended up paying the high premium that they did to get him is because there was a look at the trajectory of trending up in his career. If we are honest with ourselves and based on the play that we've seen out of DeJounte Murray for the last 2 years, sure, you can look at stats and some of them look pretty good. But as far as what comes out on the floor, the actual results on the floor have not been that great. I mean, one of the big things that I feel like, and my buddy Brad Rowland has been one to point out on social media, anyone saying that, oh, well, I mean, how are you going to not get a bigger return for such a strong defender in DeJounte Murray? No. That has not been the case the last couple of years for DeJounte in Atlanta. I think adequate is perfectly acceptable to call him, but we didn't see that big jump in defense. In fact, it felt like at times we saw a regression in his game defensively simply because he was doing a lot of the things that I think this coaching staff was trying to get Trae Young to get away from, is selling out on the big plays. And when there was a guy who needed to be locked down, it oftentimes was not DeJounte who was taking on that task. And if he was, it was often that player was scoring a lot of points. And so I don't want to paint this as DeJounte is not a good player, because that is not the case. But quite simply, with the role that he was playing with the Hawks, things were not working and his value diminished. And because of that, you got to deal with the circumstances of what is the market for his status? And if it's not as great as it once was, okay, well, what can you get out of this? You get what is hopefully going to be a great pick in the Lakers unprotected. Then you'll get a lesser pick, you know, when it comes to that, what is Milwaukee or New Orleans in 2027. And then you're looking at the upside in Dyson Daniels, a guy who was having a really solid season outside of a pretty massive knee injury back in late January, early February, if I remember it correctly. So with all of those things, like, the simple fact is the trade market was not there for DeJounte, like people like to think, because his numbers weren't as good once he got into Atlanta. This is the unfortunate circumstances you're dealing with. And I think that the bigger thing is, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, well, they picked the wrong guy. They should have traded Trae. Well, it seems the trade market for Trae was not as big as you would have liked it to have been. And so if you're talking about trying to get as fair and comparable value out of things, seems like DeJounte was the direction to go, as well as what they are putting around Trae is a lot of defense and a lot of guys who, if you find them, they can make shots. They're just not their own shot creators. But that's what Trae does. And so it feels like this is starting to build towards something that maybe won't be as star heavy, but can still be competitive.
Yeah, Caleb, as we're talking with our buddy Caleb Johnson here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, check him out on Twitter, ATLJohnson18, for all your latest Hawks news, notes, and information. Caleb, I guess I don't paint the picture of DeJounte as bleakly as you just did, like from my perception of what he did last year. I mean, he averaged a career high in points last year, and he was a guy that had several game-winning shots last season, and, you know, the team, it didn't, you know, get themselves over the hump, but I thought he established himself as a good leader, a good representation of the team while Trey was out, and he was able to lead them to some wins. I mean, I think he's still, in my opinion, I guess I'm wrong, I was much more hopeful for the return that they would have gotten, I guess much to my own chagrin. But then let me ask you this, Caleb. I know it's hypothetical now, but should they have considered running it back for the next half season and see and hope that he plays up to his full potential and then sell at the trade deadline and maybe get something closer to what I was thinking?
No, here's the thing, Chris. What the Hawks ended up getting right now was more than what New Orleans was offering at the trade deadline. I think, you know, the thing is sure, there was definitely some thought in running this thing back and seeing if one of their values could increase. But the simple fact is these two guys on the court together weren't working. The numbers did not lie. I think from a teammate perspective, that sure, I think the guys really like DeJounte, and I think he had more leadership qualities than you know you've seen out of Trey. But I think as far as production, you know, taking one-off things as like having a career scoring night, circumstances of like who was the opponent, you know, all of these sorts of things. Versus when he started to play better, like his usage rate was increasing. And I think that was a lot of it. Like DeJounte is a volume shooter. And when you're seeing him have big nights where he's scoring 40 points, he probably took 35 shots. And so I think that all comes into play as this as well, is just like who else is out there? Like what did teams do at the draft, and then who else is out there? I think that all kind of plays into this, because then you look at a guy like Clint Capella, who I am particularly high on. I think he's a really strong rebounder and defender. He just obviously has, you know, the very pull your hair out frustrating moments with those easy putbacks at the rim and what can be his offensive game. But then the market on him is really slim because of what teams did in the draft. So I think all of this kind of plays a part. And, you know, I mean, sure, you would like to get more in this simply because, well, we just watched Mikal Bridges go for 5 firsts. But I think playing off of the actual results of what we're seeing on a night-in, night-out basis, I don't think teams are nearly as high on a guy like him as – you know, we would like to think. And like I said, it is all about the market. Who is out there? Who is available? Who did teams get in the draft? And a lot of teams filled their need at center, at guard. And so you essentially make the deal because you know you need to move on. And I really do think this is a pretty fair return. Getting about, 80% of what you gave up for him 2 years ago?
Yeah, but what is that ultimately going to be? Like, as you just said, I think smartly, on paper, it looks one way, but when you actually break it down to the minutiae, it might be another way. And I've had callers and listeners point out to me today that, you know, there are a lot of players in the NBA that fall into that, let's say, 13 to 18 range in the draft that actually wind up being very good players, and some of which have turned out to be all-stars. But my mm-hmm. counter to that, Caleb, is I don't think you want that to be the bankable strategy that you're using in terms of your main return for the trade for DJ. But I guess based off of what you're saying is that's the best that they could do.
Yeah, but that's kind of, I mean, that's the game that you're playing. Like, if you're not in win-now mode, and this team is not – it doesn't matter as much as Trey wants them to be. It doesn't matter as much as if they come out and say that. Like, this team, as constructed, is not in we're going to win a championship. And so if you're not in that mode and you're in this awkward, okay, well, we don't want to be terrible, and you don't want to be terrible right now because you don't own your own draft picks for the next 3 years, because of all of those things, they're kind of in a pretty decent spot of, you know, I mean, if this team ends up being a 10th seed in the East, I think a lot of people would look next year as that being somewhat of a success, because now they at least have some assets towards building towards the future versus where they have been of they gave up so much assets to be a win now team.
But think about what you just said, though. Like, how debilitating and deflating is that? That you could make the argument that being a 10th seed next year is a success. I mean, Caleb, what are we talking about, though? Like
Chris, what do you want it to be?
Better. What I want it to be is better than that, especially after the last 3 years.
I think they attempted that and they failed. And I think they're at least now recognizing that they failed versus what we've seen in years past where it was like, oh, well, this needs definitely some tinkering. And they're like, oh, we're just going to keep running it back. Like, at least at this point, it's like, okay, we tried. I don't think they did the right moves in trying, if I'm completely honest. But at the same time, you know, for the fans who are like, well, I don't trust this front office to get it right. Well, hey, guess what? They're not going anywhere. So you better hope that what they're planning for in the future is going to get it right. And I think that is the big thing now, is when you draft a number one overall pick, you are planning towards the future more than you are necessarily concerned about right now. It's just they're in a weird spot where they don't own their own future for the next 3 years. And so now part of these trades are getting back assets so that they can have some better control of things and at least be able to try, like, simply. I mean, at least they're in the draft next year, which is supposed to be a loaded one, and hopefully end up with two picks because of the Sacramento thing from the Kevin Herter trader, versus in the past, like, they were out of it. And so it's just, like, it is a hard sell. I completely understand that. But it is the circumstances that they're presented, and at least there is a formulation of a plan, which is for the current, it is going to be Trae Young and strong defense. And then for the future, you just got to wait and see.
Yeah, I guess what it comes down to is we're talking with our buddy Caleb Johnson, Hawks reporter here for 92.9 The Game, is at least, I mean, I can obviously only speak for myself, but what it seems like from the people who have been communicating with me on Twitter that's sharing my frustration is that the hope was that everything that you just described could have been mitigated more successfully, I guess is the best way to put it. Like, an intermediate step between where the team is now, a complete breakdown, and the pie in the sky thinking that you could compete for a top six seed, you know, next year, which I think would be a little bit high, you know, pie in the sky thinking. So that sort of intermediate step where, you know, there's a little bit more optimism for the immediate return going into next year, it seems like there's going to be a bit more of a grin and bear it attitude as opposed to more optimism is the best way I can describe it.
I think the big thing with the future is just and specifically next year, it is just about, like, this team could end up surprising everyone. Like, we didn't expect the Jalen Johnson jump to happen. And so, you know, where can those things happen with the roster that they're putting together? Like I said, it is not going to be star-ridden by any stretch of the imagination, but it doesn't mean that it can't be on equal level or improved from last year just simply because guys are going to take their next steps. Like, you're going to have growth from Kobe Bufkin. You're going to have growth, I believe, from Garrison Matthews. I think Jalen Johnson is going to be able to take a next step for him. And then you've got some, you know, maybe not as exciting pieces, but like this Dyson Daniels is coming over from the Pelicans. Like, people are really big on him. EJ Liddell, who came in as part of this deal, someone else that a lot of scouts are thinking in a couple of years is really going to see some true growth. So I think for as much as, you know, Hawks fans ever since 2021, everything else has been kind of a downward spiral in, hey, this isn't working. But it's kind of like you can't do anything with the past at this point. You can only plan for the future, and it at least seems like the plan for the future is much better than, well, we're just going to keep running back the same things, or we're going to try to make a trade that improves us now, but it's not going to be enough to win a championship. Like, I think, you know, if you improved and next year you got some big piece back and you were a sixth seed, but you still lost in the first round, there'd be a level of disappointment with that. But I think they're trying to, at least it seems, plan better for the future.
Ah, Caleb, today feels like a day when I was a kid and mom and dad had to force me to take that liquid cough medicine. It's just not something fun that anybody wants to do. But all right, appreciate the insight and time as always. Enjoy your weekend, sir.
All right, have a good one, man.
All right, that is Caleb Johnson. We're running late, so we'll come back. Abe Gordon's in the house. What does he think about all this? Can he help me? Probably not, but we'll see. All right. All right. Y'all might be on something. Jared Kelnick just hit a moonshot off of Paul Skeens in the bottom of the first inning. Okay. Listen, 90 games left or 80 games left, whatever it is. But, yeah, he's playing pretty good right now, man. I mean, I just can't really say much. I mean, we need him. He's playing. He's starting in center field. He's leading off. He's hitting bombs. I mean, yeah. Maybe not my best take, but, you know, you gotta get up and keep firing. That's what this, you know, much like a shooter in basketball or a closer in baseball, you gotta come back the next day and keep firing. That's just what you have to do in the hot take business. I really didn't think it was a great move at the time. I genuinely believed it. I mean, I think you had a World Series caliber roster, and to take an unknown player who had never done it before and, you know, had some attitude issues and had never consistently performed at the big league level, to make him a starting player on your team, I think was a risky move and a gutsy move by Double A. But that's why he's an award-winning, world champion GM, and I'm a talk show host. So, you know, at the end of the day, Braves doing their thing. So, I mean, what's good for the goose is good for the gander anyway, whether I'm right or wrong. The fact that Kelnick is helping the team out the way that he is right now is really good. So, yeah, you can send all your hate mail and all your, blank you turtles to C. Thomas Radio. And another guy that you can do that with, because he'll have 90 minutes for you to yell at him, is Abe Gordon. And he joins me now in studio for the final minutes of the program. Abe, sorry to distract you from the international soccer going on right now. But I want to get your take on everything I've been talking about today. I know you'll get into it more when you take over the controls here in a couple of minutes. But do you think I'm being too harsh on my take on the return for DJ?
Only because it's not the end of the day, and from a season-long perspective, we're taking the whole season as one day, is obviously the analogy I'm using here. This is the start of the move, and I mentioned it last night. I had 3 hours. I think you're being a little impatient. I think the concern is there for the reasons you presented, but I think it's still a situation where we have to look at the completion of this offseason, the finality of the roster, and see where we are at the end of it. I agree with you. Just the emotionally instant reaction, frustrating, because you got worse last night. I'm not sitting here trying to say you didn't. And look, nothing wrong with Dyson Daniels' games, but let's not pretend that we're bringing him in here and he's the next coming.
There's not. Nothing,
I got plenty of those tweets too.
There's not nothing wrong with it. He's not. He can't
shoot the three. He's got to get better. But also, I can find you any stat you want that says anyone in the league is a good defender. And so you can miss me with all of these stats on Dyson Daniels and his defense. He's a good defender. I'm not arguing against that, but he's a role player.
I had a caller literally scream at me over it before.
Yeah, and that's why I've had guys on Twitter since the trade last night telling me how I should be so excited about Dyson Daniels. And look, I'm not dumping on him, but I also understand what he's coming in here to do. And whatever you think it is, it's not that. Like, if you think he's coming, I've got guys that are saying he's going to be your starting two.
No, he's not. Come on. No.
Well, I didn't say it. That's what they're saying.
I have to
respond to it. But to back to your original point, you got worse last night. There's no doubt about that. But that's not the roster you're taking into the season. It better not be. It can't be. No, I know. It can't be.
It could be.
And so it can't be. It almost cannot be.
It could be.
If Landry wants to have a job starting in October or whenever the season tips off, it can't be. And so I'm frustrated, but I'm trying to be as patient as possible. That's kind of where I'm at. I'm going to give him the opportunity. We have people complain all season long about the team building, right, here in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And how you haven't put the right pieces around Trae Young. This right now is Landry's opportunity to put the right pieces around Trae Young. So let's see if he can do it.
Here's my only, sure, it's everything you just said. All good. But I think you can still separate this move versus every other move they're going to make. Because I think you can isolate this move and grade it on its own. I don't think you necessarily...
It depends if the parts are part of another package. If this move is actually separate, then sure. But if you're using Nance or Daniels or those first-round picks as part of a package for something else, you really can't.
But what...
I don't know what the package would be. I don't know.
What are you getting in return?
There has to be something.
I think Nance is more of a buyout candidate than anything else.
Either buyout or a package. Yeah.
So, I mean, but because here's the thing. Even if they're somehow able to turn Clint Capela and Bogey into a starting two guard and a starting center, even somehow if they're able to do that, I still don't think you got enough for DJ. Caleb Johnson, I'm surprised. I thought he was going to agree with me because we're usually pretty simpatico on the Hawks. He really chided me for believing that DJ was worth more than what we got.
Well, here's the thing. I talked with Mike Conley about this last night after the news had broke, and I think we're getting into a little bit of prisoner of the moment recency bias on this discussion. Because if Mikal Bridges doesn't pull what is essentially 5 first-round picks for a team that very clearly overpaid for him, we're talking about DeJounte Murray going for being brought in for 3 first-round picks. We got 2 of those back. And I understand the situations of they're probably not going to be lottery picks. I agree.
But that matters.
But the Spurs aren't going to have lottery picks, hopefully.
Well, right, but it still matters.
No, it doesn't. You gave up 3 first-round picks. You got 2 back and a promising young player who can hopefully have an impact. I don't know what else wanted to get. What were you going to get? You weren't going to get 3 first-round picks.
No,
I don't care where in the first round they are.
I'm more concerned about the players you got back. Because
Nance is irrelevant.
Right, but
Liddell, in my opinion, I don't care if he's young. I remember him in college. He's irrelevant.
People aren't even using him as
I just found out today he was included. When I wrapped up my show last night, he wasn't part of the deal.
Right. So I haven't even mentioned that today because
I'm still hoping they slide Brandon Ingram as part of the deal if we're adding players.
That's what that's what Mike Bell and I were praying for we had about a good 2 minute span in between
when it broke
and when
I was in here, were on road. You were at Twin Peaks Buckhead, right?
Yeah.
And I'm yelling at Oren, hey, you got to get in their ear right now because you guys didn't see it. I saw it before Oren did. I said, hey, DeJounte's going to the Pelicans. You got to let him know. And then you guys were like, all right, Big O, when you see who. And you guys were thinking, you had to be thinking the exact same thing I was thinking.
Brandon Ingram.
How long till we see Ingram as part of this deal? Still waiting.
But it wasn't even, it's not even just like, it wasn't Herb Jones, it wasn't Trey Murphy. Like, they have a bunch of guys that could have helped this team immediately. The guy that they got back, like, nah, I'm sorry. Like, when you, DeJounte Murray, like, this was Caleb's argument, that even though DeJounte Murray had his best statistical season last year in terms of points, he led comebacks last year, he was the leader of the team when Trey was hurt, that when you look at the entire sample size, his market value decreased to the point where this was the best that they could have done. I just find that so incredibly hard to believe. Really, this was the best they could have done? I guess it was, but like, don't do it then. Honestly, that's where I'm at with it.
I think if you look at it blindly, you're talking about 2 first-round picks and a guy that is an up-and-comer that should be a large part of your rotation. I think that's enough. I didn't think you were going to get something else. I know it's frustrating that you're not. I never thought you would.
I thought you'd get at least a starting caliber player.
My best case scenario was trading him to Portland and somehow getting Ayton back. DeAndre Ayton.
Okay, but he's a starting caliber player.
I know, you were going to pay him.
I would have been happy with that.
I know, but that was like my best case scenario.
But he
like,
also makes $35 million a year.
I know. The money's an issue, I know.
Yeah.
But I didn't think you were going to get that much for DeJounte.
I did. I would have been much happier with a starting caliber player and one pick.
What starting caliber player, though? Like, Brandon Ingram's the only name we've thrown out over the last 3 months.
I would have taken Trey Murphy. He's your starting two guard.
I guess. No one's getting excited about Trey Murphy the same way they don't get excited.
More excited about than Dyson Daniels.
What happens if the Lakers are not good? Look, we don't know if the Lakers are going to get better or not. They just got caught with Russell opting back in, so they're stuck with him.
Right. But
what happens if they're not good?
But here's
they make the playoffs this year?
Yeah, and here's why. Because you're not going to pay LeBron $60 million a year and not just finish going all in.
So you think LeBron like opted so far, out to take a pay cut?
No, he's going to make more. He was making 51. He's okay. Probably going to make 60.
So how do they have money?
But if you're doing that, what does it matter? Then spend the extra $25, $30 million to bring in another player.
Like I would suggest so.
If you're already that far into it anyway, like why? And that's my reasoning for believing the Lakers aren't going to be awful.
But what if they are? What if Anthony Davis has one of his injury-riddled seasons and they miss the playoffs? And that pick's ninth overall.
Okay. And what if Dyson Daniels turns into Gary Payton? I get it.
Even better.
Fine.
Then we won the deal.
But my point is,
I'm just going to be patient about the offseason. I'm also not going to just presume that this first-round pick is pick 17 because it could be 7.
All right, fair enough. Much more.
I don't like being patient either. By the way, you know me. I don't like dealing with it, but it's the reality of the situation. I kind of have to put it on hold just to see what else is in store. Because if there is something that maybe we're not thinking of, maybe it can get us back on the right side of things.
Yeah, I mean, just been patient for 3 years,
and we're being patient with a guy that we don't trust.
That too.
That's the other part of it.
All right. Abe Gordon's coming up next. Don't go anywhere. And then the 5-stripe countdown with Garrett Chapman. Atlanta United versus Toronto. Kick at 7:30. Thanks to E. Thanks to my guest. Talk to you guys next week. Shady. All right. Y'all might be on something. Jared Kelnick just hit a moonshot off of Paul Skeens in the bottom of the first thing. Okay, listen, not 90 games left or 80 games left, whatever it is, but yeah, he's playing pretty good right now, man. I mean, I just can't really say much. I mean, we need him. He's playing. He's starting in center field. He's leading off. He's hitting bombs. I mean, yeah, maybe not my best take, but you know, you gotta. Got to get up and keep firing. That's what this, you know, much like a shooter in basketball or a closer in baseball, you got to come back the next day and keep firing. That's just what you have to do in the hot take business. I really didn't think it was a great move at the time. I genuinely believed it. I mean, I think you had a World Series caliber roster, and to take an unknown player who had never done it before and, you know, had some attitude issues and had never consistently performed at the big league level, to make him a starting player on your team, I think was a risky move and a gutsy move by AA, but that's why he's an award-winning, world champion GM, and I'm a talk show host. So, you know, at the end of the day, Braves doing their thing. So, I mean, what's good for the goose is good for the gander anyway, whether I'm right or wrong. The fact that Kelnick is helping the team out the way that he is right now is really good. So, yeah, you can send all your hate mail and all your, blank you turtles to C. Thomas Radio. And another guy that you can do that with, because he'll have 90 minutes for you to yell at him, is Abe Gordon. And he joins me now in studio for the final minutes of the program. Abe, sorry to distract you from the international soccer going on right now. But I want to get your take on everything I've been talking about today. I know you'll get into it more when you take over the controls here in a couple of minutes. But do you think I'm being too harsh on my take on the return for DJ?
Only because it's not the end of the day, and from a season-long perspective, we're taking the whole season as one day, is obviously the analogy I'm using here. This is the start of the move, and I mentioned it last night. I had 3 hours. I think you're being a little impatient. I think the concern is there for the reasons you presented, But I think it's still a situation where we have to look at the completion of this offseason, the finality of the roster, and see where we are at the end of it. I agree with you. Just the emotionally instant reaction, frustrating, because you got worse last night. I'm not sitting here trying to say you didn't. And look, nothing wrong with Dyson Daniels' games, but let's not pretend that we're bringing him in here and he's the next coming.
There's not nothing,
I got plenty of those tweets too.
There's not nothing wrong with it. He can't
shoot the three. He's got to get better. But also, I can find you any stat you want that says anyone in the league is a good defender. And so you can miss me with all of these stats on Dyson Daniels and his defense. He's a good defender. I'm not arguing against that. But he's a role player.
I had a caller literally scream at me over it before.
Yeah, and that's why I've had guys on Twitter since the trade last night telling me how I should be so excited about Dyson Daniels. And look, I'm not dumping on him, but I also understand what he's coming in here to do. And whatever you think it is, it's not that. Like, no, if you think he's coming, I've got guys that are saying he's going to be your starting two.
No, he's not. Come on. No.
Well, I didn't say it. That's what they're saying.
I have
to respond to it. But to back to your original point, you got worse last night. There's no doubt about that. But that's not the roster you're taking into the season. It better not be. It can't be. No, I know. It can't be.
It could be.
And so it can't be. It almost cannot be.
It could be.
If Landry wants to have a job starting in October or whenever the season tips off, it can't be. And so I'm frustrated. But I'm trying to be as patient as possible. That's kind of where I'm at. I'm going to give them the opportunity. Look, we have people complain all season long about the team building, right, here in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And how you haven't put the right pieces around Trae Young. This right now is Landry's opportunity to put the right pieces around Trae Young. So let's see if he can do it.
Here's my only – sure. It's everything you just said. All good. But I think you can still separate this move versus every other move they're going to make. Because I think you can isolate this move and grade it on its own. I don't think you necessarily...
It depends if the parts are part of another package. If this move is actually separate, then sure. But if you're using Nance or Daniels or those first-round picks as part of a package for something else, you really can't.
But what...
I don't know what the package would be. I don't know.
What are you getting in return?
There has to be something.
I think Nance is more of a buyout candidate than anything else.
Either buyout or a package. Yeah.
So, I mean, but because here's the thing. Even if they're somehow able to turn Clint Capela and Bogey into a starting two guard and a starting center, even somehow if they're able to do that, I still don't think you got enough for DJ. Caleb Johnson, I'm surprised. I thought he was going to agree with me because we're usually pretty simpatico on the Hawks. He really chided me for believing that DJ was worth more than what we got.
Well, here's the thing. I talked with Mike Conley about this last night after the news had broke, and I think we're getting into a little bit of prisoner of the moment recency bias on this discussion. Because if Mikal Bridges doesn't pull what is essentially 5 first-round picks for a team that very clearly overpaid for him, we're talking about DeJounte Murray going for being brought in for 3 first-round picks. We got 2 of those back. And I understand the situations of they're probably not going to be lottery picks. I agree.
But that matters.
But the Spurs aren't going to have lottery picks, hopefully.
Well, right, but Still, it's regardless, it still matters.
No, it doesn't. You gave up 3 first-round picks. You got 2 back and a promising young player who can hopefully have an impact. I don't know what else you wanted to get. What were you going to get? You weren't going to get 3 first-round picks.
No,
I don't care where in the first round they
are.
I'm
more concerned about the players you got back. Because
Nance is irrelevant.
Right, but...
Liddell, in my opinion, I don't care if he's young. I remember him in college. He's irrelevant.
People aren't even using him as...
I just found out today he was included. When I wrapped up my show last night, he wasn't part of the deal.
Right. So I haven't even mentioned that today because
I'm still hoping they slide Brandon Ingram as part of the deal if we're adding players.
That's what we all were. That's what Mike Bell and I were praying for. We had about a good 2 minute span in between
when it broke
and when
I was in here. You were on road. You were at Twin Peaks Buckhead, right?
Yeah.
And I'm yelling at Oren, hey, you got to get in their ear right now because you guys didn't see it. I saw it before Oren did. I said, hey, DeJounte's going to the Pelicans. You got to let him know. And then you guys were like, all right, Big O, when you see who. And you guys were thinking, you had to be thinking the exact same thing I was thinking.
Brandon Ingram.
How long till we see Ingram as part of this deal? Still waiting.
But it wasn't even, it's not even just like, it wasn't Herb Jones, it wasn't Trey Murphy. Like, they have a bunch of guys that could have helped this team immediately. The guy that they got back, like, nah, I'm sorry. Like, when you, DeJounte Murray, like, this was Caleb's argument that even though DeJounte Murray had his best statistical season last year in terms of points, he led comebacks last year, he was the leader of the team when Trey was hurt, that when you look at the entire sample size, his market value decreased to the point where this was the best that they could have done. I just find that so incredibly hard to believe. Really, this was the best they could have done? I guess it was, but like, don't do it then. Honestly, that's where I'm at with it. Don't
I think, again, I think if you look at it blindly, you're talking about two first-round picks and a guy that is an up-and-comer that should be a large part of your rotation. I think that's enough. I didn't think you were going to get something else. I know it's frustrating that you're not. I didn't. I never thought you would.
I thought you'd get at least a starting caliber player.
My best case scenario was trading him to Portland and somehow getting Ayton back. DeAndre Ayton.
Okay, but he's a starting caliber player.
I know, you were going to pay him.
I would have been happy with that.
I know, but that was like my best case scenario.
But he
like,
also makes $35 million a year.
I know. The money's an issue, I know.
Yeah.
But I didn't think you were going to get that much for DeJounte.
I did. I would have been much happier with a starting caliber player and one pick.
What starting caliber player, though? Like, Brandon Ingram's the only name we've thrown out over the last 3 months.
I would have taken Trey Murphy. He's your starting two guard.
I guess. No one's getting excited about Trey Murphy the same way they don't get excited.
More excited about than Dyson Daniels.
What happens if the Lakers are not good? Look, we don't know if the Lakers are going to get better or not. They just got caught with Russell opting back in, so they're stuck with him.
Right. But
what happens if they're not good?
But here's,
they make the playoffs this year?
Yeah, and here's why. Because you're not going to pay LeBron $60 million a year and not just finish going all in.
So you think LeBron like opted so far, out to take a pay cut?
No, he's going to make more. He was making 51. He's okay. Probably going to make 60.
So how do they have money?
But if you're doing that, what does it matter? Then spend the extra $25, $30 million to bring in another player.
Like I would suggest so.
If you're already that far into it anyway, like why? And that's my reasoning for believing the Lakers aren't going to be awful.
But what if they are? What if Anthony Davis has one of his injury-riddled seasons and they miss the playoffs, and that pick's ninth overall?
Okay. And what if Dyson Daniels turns into Gary Payton? I get it.
Even better.
Fine.
Then we won the deal.
But my point is,
I'm just going to be patient about the offseason. I'm also not going to just presume that this first-round pick is pick 17 because it could be 7.
All right. Fair enough. Much more.
I don't like being patient either, by the way. You know me. I don't like dealing with it, but it's the reality of the situation. I kind of have to put it on hold just to see what else is in store, because if there is something that maybe we're not thinking of, maybe it can get us back on the right side of things.
Yeah. I mean, just been patient for 3 years.
And we're being patient with a guy that we don't trust.
That too.
That's the other part of it.
All right. Abe Gordon's coming up next. Don't go anywhere. And then the 5-stripe countdown with Garrett Chapman. Atlanta United versus Toronto. Kick at 7:30. Thanks to E. Thanks to my guest. Talk to you guys next week.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.